Christ gone. We've been enjoying the 1 month to live course program that we're doing, the campaign. Just really encourage you to be diligent about that every day. And some of you are probably being faithful about it. Some of you had some good intentions and probably haven't bothered. But I encourage you, if you're one of those ones who always very enthusiastic about everything, have good intentions, but you don't follow it through, and follow this thing through, because maybe it'll help you that you might follow other things through in your life. So I encourage you to be reading that book and getting along to home group, to be listening to the messages. If you miss them, then go onto the website. I want everyone in the church to have heard every message over this series, everyone. And so even if you've been sick or whatever the reasons, just go online and listen to the messages, because they all flow together. So I encourage you. I don't want anyone to miss out on what God wants to do. I'm saddened when I think there's a possibility that, yes, some people may, and I don't want anyone to miss out on that. We've been doing this campaign now, and we're now on the fifth week of that, of our 1 month to live. And we know the premise of that is basically asking ourselves, well, what would we do? How would we live our lives if we only had 1 month to live? And the bottom line is, well, we're praying and trusting that many of us are going to have many more years. But we hear of people that, even Christian people, that all of a sudden their life is taken. And so what we're talking about today is leaving boldly. And really what we're talking about is that every one of us has a desire that we're going to leave some sort of a legacy in our life, that you're going to have something in your life that lives far beyond you, that even after you're called home, even after you've gone, that there's something in your life that's going to live on, that you would have had made a difference in this life, that in the eons and the passing of time, that the fact that you walked upon this earth actually had some significance to it, and that you did make a difference in this earth. There's a quote here from a guy called Harold Kushner, and he said this. He said, "I am convinced that it's not the fear of death, our lives ending, that haunts our sleep so much, as the fear that as far as the world is concerned, we might as well have never lived." And so that really, every one of us wants to make a lasting difference. You don't want to have passed through this life, and once you've come and you've gone, then there's nothing that endures of you. We saw in that little clip, and that was a very powerful clip that we saw, the Billy guy making sandcastles there. And personally, I actually love making sandcastles. Wherever we go down the beach, we love going on holidays, or we go down the beach, and we always make sandcastles, without exception. We're always making sandcastles. And I'm in there just as much as the kids. In fact, the kids are. I love doing it with the kids, but the kids are also a good excuse. But I think I'll be one of those. I'll be a 90-year-old man. I'll be down there digging up, making my sandcastles, and people go, "Oh, isn't that sweet? He's gone back to his childhood." But they won't know that I never actually left it. So I just love making sandcastles. When we make the sandcastles, boys always tell you, we don't make them in a safe place. We deliberately put them where we know the water's going to come. We build up walls and we build up barriers and we have multi-levels of trenches and walls, and we make these elaborate sandcastles. But then we know that eventually it's just going to get washed away, and all our work, all our efforts will be washed away. But sometimes very much of our life is like that. And sometimes some of the things that we do, we put a lot of time and effort, and the whole thing just seems to be washed away. And even some mums, when mothers are going through their routines, you know, every day you're washing your clothes and it's like, oh, the clothes are already clean, but you know tomorrow they're going to be all dirty again. You make this magnificent meal, but the kids are all going to get hungry again. You know, you've got the beds, everything looks tidy, but it's going to happen again. And a lot of things in life can be like that. We just seem to do a whole lot of stuff and it just seems to get washed away. But what mothers are actually doing is they're not just making a sandcastle. They're actually building a legacy. They're building things. They're imparting things into the life of their kids. Now, this here, I was going to say, can anyone tell me what this is? Well, it looks like a teddy bear, but it isn't really a teddy bear. This is one that Tina has lovingly made, and this is a colouring book that John has made, and we'll be taking these to give to either orphan children or disadvantaged children in the Philippines when we go there. But yeah, you can put your hands together and bless them for that. There's a whole big bag that we'll be carrying with us to the Philippines in a couple of weeks. I know that you've seen it. But this isn't just a teddy bear. This is actually a legacy of love. A little child will get this, and whenever they'll always remember that someone cared enough to do this, but they'll also remember it was because of the love of Jesus that they were given us. And so it's not just a teddy bear, it's a legacy. We can all leave legacies in many, many different ways, and God wants us to do that. He's called us to do that, to leave a legacy in our life. And there's a scripture I want us to look at this morning Just as you're turning to that, many of you have heard of a guy called Arthur Stance. You're going to stick this up there. Remember how Arthur Stance, Mr. Eternity as they called him. He was born in late 1894 or something around that time. Poor, destitute man who had nothing in the whole world one day. And he went along in about 1930. He went along to this meeting. And all the people would go, if you wanted to go to get a meal from the soup kitchen, to get a meal, you had to sit through an hour and a half meeting. And then they'll let you have the food. And so one day he was there with about 300 or 400 other men off the streets of Sydney. They were there just because they wanted some food. But as he was sitting there, he came in and sitting across the seats there were six men, all well dressed up in suits or whatever. And he said to the guy next to him, he said, "Who are those guys?" And the guy says, "Oh, they'll be the Christians." And so the guy said, "Right, I'm going to become one of those." So they went through the hour and a half service. At the end, they gave an altar call. He came through. He wanted to become one of the Christians. He gave his heart to the Lord. He was incredibly saved. His life turned around. And once he became a Christian, he just wanted to make his mark of eternity in the life of people. And so what he did, from the time he gave his heart to the Lord until his death, he went around the streets of Sydney just writing the words of eternity. In fact, over his life, he wrote it over 500,000 times over the streets of Sydney. In fact, it had such an impact, it was in the media. People were actually being convicted all of the way. You know, eternity, eternity, always in front of them, issues of life and eternity. And he certainly was one man that made his mark. And we all remember at the Millennium in Sydney fireworks that they had over there. In Sydney, they had the Harbour Bridge all lit up in fireworks, but then it all finished with the words eternity. And that went right around the world. He made his mark. And you'll see even there on the flags that they had in 2002 as a part of a celebration, eternity was actually put there. And he's a man who actually did make a mark. He made his mark with chalk on the pavement on the street. But God wants every one of us to make a mark in our life. So let's have a look at this scripture. And if I can find it, turn my Bible not from upside down. It's hard to read your Bible upside down. I don't know if you tried it, but I always struggle when I do. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verses 12 to 14. And this is talking about building. It says, "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward." So every day in life, everything that you're doing, every day, you're actually building something. We're building some kind of a legacy of some sort. And we get to actually choose what are the materials that I am building with. Because every one of us wants to leave boldly. We want to have made our mark upon this earth. And every day, you get the choice of what kind of materials that you use. Are we building with temporary materials? Things that are just going to be gone at the end of the day. They're just going to get washed away. Not going to count. Or actually we building in our life, building with our life, things that are of gold or silver, things that are going to actually endure in life. And so what are the materials that we're going to be using in our life? I want to look at three major areas this morning as we look at this aspect of leaving boldly, to leave boldly. One of the first things we want to look at is to build a legacy. What is the eternal material? First eternal material that builds a legacy is convictions. So you can write that in, convictions. I'm not talking about going to jail, not criminal convictions. I'm talking about the passions within your heart. I'm talking about the values that are inside your life that you're actually living out of your life. There's a passage, so you can write that in there, write there, convictions there. You can pull that out. You'll have those there in your newsletter. But in convictions. And there's a scripture, Isaiah 40 verse 8. It says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." Now we know things come and go all of the time. There's all these passing fads. What is the latest passing fad? What is the latest trend? What is the latest bandwagon that people can jump on? What is the latest thing that we can get a hold of? But the one thing that does not change, the thing that stands, is the word of God. The word of God, it was the same. And 2,000 years ago, the Word of God, before then, the Word of God, and even in the future forever, the Word of God will stand. The Word of God endures. It doesn't change. And your convictions have to be built on something that is actually of eternal value, to build your convictions. Not just belief, but belief is something that, yeah, I believe that's right, But a conviction is something that you actually live and outwork in your life. And it's so important that we outwork the conviction of the Word of God in our life, that it's in our heart, that we need to have the convictions, the values that we live, how we live our life, comes out of the Word of God. That the person you are, it's in accordance with the Word of God. It's who we are. But we've got to live it out. It's so important that we live it out. Now just say, for example, I'll just read the scripture actually, first of all. Matthew 7:26, and this is from the Message. Message is a great little version of the scripture in that it just puts things in such modern, down-to-earth, plain language. It says this. It says, if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. So you're just getting into the Bible studies, studying in, but you actually don't work them into your life. You're like a stupid carpenter that built his house on a sandy beach. And some people are like that. Some people do. They just study the Bible. They just study it. They can quote verses. They know the Bible well, but they don't live the Bible. They don't live it out of their life. And a conviction is how you live your life. And we've got to live our lives with conviction, and it's outworking even the words of God in our life. We don't actually, the end of the day, the bottom line is, you don't actually believe something until you live it. You don't believe it until you live it. People say, I believe a whole lot of stuff. Well, good on you. But it's not a conviction. It doesn't change into a conviction until you actually live it out of your life. Just put up this little next little slide here. Now, just some of us have been convicted. One of the sessions that we looked at, there was one of the testimonies. We've seen some remarkable testimonies over this 1 month to live. One of them was that guy who was really convicted about his weight and doing something. And to be honest, I've been challenged myself about getting fit. And, you know, so we've been riding the bike, we do our 10Ks and trying to get fit, trying to get in shape. Well, just say, for example, that somebody, now that you know, that somebody came up to me and said, look, Pastor Chris, I know that you really want to get into shape and you want to, you know, be fitter, healthier, feel better. You really want to do that. And so someone comes up to me and says, look, Pastor Chris, knowing that I've gone and I bought you this book, and this book is Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'll know Arnie, I'll be back, Arnie Schwarzenegger, and it's the new encyclopedia of modern bodybuilding. And so the person comes up and they give me this book and it says, look, we know that you really want to get healthier, get fitter, and we've actually talked about it as a church, and we think it'd actually be pretty cool to have a pastor that looked like Arnie Schwarzenegger. He's now the governor of California, and they call him the Governita. In America. And so that, you know, the person goes, has a chat to the oversight, and they agree that they're going to give me 6 months off. 6 months off so I can take that book, come back and look like Arnie Schwarzenegger. So I get the book and I take it with me, and I go there, and so for 6 months, you know, church is going on, growing, people. But then the big day arrives. And so Pastor John gets up there and he announces, he says, well, everybody, I know that you've been waiting for great expectation, great anticipation for Pastor Chris to come out like Arnie Schwarzenegger. And everybody, let's just hold our breath. And there's Hayden giving us a big drum roll, big announcement. Here he comes. Door opens. Gary's there, opens the door with a flourish. Here's Pastor Chris. And then I walk up, and you look at me exactly the same. And you go, well, what's going on here? You look exactly the same. And so you come up to me, and maybe the person who gave me the book and says, what about the book? Did you read the book? And I go, oh, the book. Man, that book was the best book I have ever read. Did I read it? I actually read it 6 times. I read that book every month. I just could not put that book down. It's become my favorite book. I've read it and I've studied that book and I just could not stop reading that book. In fact, that book was so powerful. The sections there where Arnie actually has part of his own life. And I was so moved and so challenged by it. It actually brought me to tears in a couple of places. And so I actually highlighted those sections that really, really challenged me. It was so, wow, so amazing. And I was just loved that book so much. Actually committed to memory 2 whole chapters about getting your bodybuilding plan. And I memorized it. I can actually recite those 2 chapters word for word. And what's more than that, I even know the Greek word now for bicep. And so I love that book. That is the best book. I just love it. That is the best book. It has become my most favorite book in all of the world. And then maybe the person says to me, says, well, did you actually go to a gym? And I'd say, oh, no, I didn't have time to go to the gym. I was just so busy just studying the book. It's a fantastic book. No, I didn't actually get to the gym. And maybe the person would say, well, did you eat right? And I'd say, no, actually, I didn't eat right. And the person says, well, did you do anything that was within the book? And I go, well, not exactly, but I read the book every day and I studied the book and I love the book and it's become my favorite book. It's a really important book in my life. Now, if I actually did that, what would you all think? You would think, well, you're just totally silly. That is totally and utterly ridiculous, isn't it? But how many believers are like that? How many believers are like, oh, the Word of God, the Bible, it's the Word of God. It's the most precious thing in my entire life. And I study it and I read it. I read it every day. And I've highlighted, look at my Bible, I've highlighted all of these sections in the Bible. But we don't actually do what it says. How many believers are like that? Because at the end of the day, you don't believe in something until you outwork it in your life. It's not actually a conviction into your heart, into your life. And so I just encourage us, when it comes to the Word of God, do we really live it? Because you do not believe it. Don't tell me you believe it if you don't live it. Because if you don't live it, you don't believe it. We only live what we believe in. That is what conviction is. We have a conviction in our life. We actually outwork it in our life. It's so important that we do that. There's a little saying that it says that belief you hold on to, a belief is something you hold on to, but a conviction is something that holds on to you. Belief is something you hold on to, but a conviction is something that holds on to you. And so you can go along to church every Sunday, never miss a Sunday. Maybe you say, oh yeah, I've got my priorities right, I'm going to be there. And you heard every sermon, you go to home group, and you hear it all, and you read it all, but you don't do it, then you don't really believe it. And that's the challenge for us. If we really want to make a difference in our lives, we really need to be people of our convictions, to live out of our convictions. And people who live in such a way, they're the ones who are really going to make a mark in life. They're the ones who are actually going to leave a legacy far beyond their own. It's not enough to have believed, but it's enough to have lived, to live according to our convictions. It's so important that we do that. So that's the first area, is our convictions in life, that they need to be built upon the Word of God in our lives. And not just to read it and study it and quote it and be, oh yes, I can give a verse on that. Means nothing. Pharisees, they knew the Word, they knew the Scriptures, they'd studied them, learned them. Jesus hung it on them. Did he hang it on them time after time? Because they weren't actually living it. In fact, he rebuked him. He says, you're just making it hard for everyone. You don't actually live anything, you just look really good on the outside, but there's nothing there because you don't live it out of your life. And that's the challenge. If we really want to make a difference in our lives, we've got to be people of our convictions. Ask yourself, do you believe, or are you someone who lives according to the convictions? Your life really is built on the Word of God, because that's one of the important materials that will last. You cannot ever really build an eternal legacy, not just a legacy in this world, but an eternal legacy, unless we live according to our convictions in our lives. Don't just say all the right things at the right time and sound good, but we live out of those things in our lives, their convictions. That's a material that will last forever. So I encourage us in that area. Don't study the Bible and say, oh, it's my favorite book. Yeah. But you don't actually live it, because it means you're not really. It's not really a conviction in our life. Our values need to flow from there. What about the second area? If we're talking about materials, those materials that are going to last forever, that we can build a legacy, not stuff that's just going to get washed away, that will have no eternal value, then the second area, the second tool that we've got to work with is our character. Number two is our character. That is the second area. Because ultimately, and I've said this time, and I've said it time and time again, when you die, the only thing that you're going to take with you is your character, who you are. That's all you're going to take within eternity. People spend their whole lives building up these wonderful things, but they're not going to last, they're not going to stand. It's who you are is what you're going to take. Your character is so important. When you die, that's what you will take with you. And so a person of character actually is someone who does also live according to their conviction. And from the Message again, in Romans 8:29, let's read this together from Romans 8:29. It says, God knew very well what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the lines along the same lines as the life of his son. And so what the Lord is really talking about when it comes to character is that our heart is that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. We become like Jesus. We don't become clones. He hasn't made us to be clones. He's given us a unique expression, a unique personality, but he has called us to exhibit the character and the qualities of Jesus Christ. That's a part of the legacy that we can leave as we become more and more like Jesus Christ, who we are, that we become more and more like him. And that's God's plan for your life. Our name of the church is Grow Church. What are we growing in? We're growing in the character and the stature of Jesus Christ. We're growing to become more and more like him. And that's the very reason that God has called you, is that you would grow up into all things into Christ, that we'd be formed in the image of Christ. And there's the story of... the devil used to be there behind me. There's the story of Michelangelo. Somebody went up to him once and said, how did you do it? How did you make that famous David? You know that statue, the famous statue of David from Michelangelo? You're probably all familiar with that. Someone asked him and said, well, how did you do that? How did you make the famous David? And Michelangelo said, oh, that was very easy. He said, all I did was I just chipped away all of the bits that didn't look like David. It was that simple. And that was the answer that he gave. And really, that's what it's like living our lives, is that God works in our lives. He just chips away all the bits in our lives that don't look like Jesus Christ. He works upon our lives. And those are the things that are a part of forming character. So God looks at the flaws in our lives, the faults that are in our lives. And we've all got them. None of us can say, oh yeah, look, I'm the finished product in that sense. God's working on all of us. But God will chip away at those areas in our life that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. I just want to show a little clip now of this woman. We've seen some remarkable testimonies. And this is a testimony of a lady that really was challenged in her own heart, that her own life, her own character, would become more and more like Jesus Christ. So let's just watch this clip together.
Probably, I guess, 4 or 5 months ago, the book that he and his wife are writing is called One Month to Live. And it just really got me excited because I started thinking, okay, what would I do in my life? Would I change anything? Would I make big changes? You know, and I went home right away and I got on the website. And I started looking at the website and I started looking at what other people were writing about, taking trips, quitting their jobs. You know, and I'm thinking, would I do that? Would I make major changes or minor changes? And I just got to thinking, I do volunteer work for hospice. And I started thinking about one of my patients that died last year. And I went to her wake, and every single person at her wake was saying how full of grace she was. I just thought, wow, what a legacy to leave. And wouldn't that be cool if I could leave a legacy like that? Because in my life, I just never really thought about grace before. I never thought what it meant to be a graceful person. And to me, I was just like, oh, that would be just a really neat thing, instead of people remembering me as being, oh, just the silly person, or, you know, the aunt that, you know, could burp the ABCs or something like that. It would be, wouldn't that be nice to have a graceful life, to live for 30 days with just God's grace and really think more about that? I'm a very spontaneous person. And I've noticed that now I'm taking more time to think about things and thinking about what I say to people. Because I have some people say, sixth sense of humor. And sometimes, you know, I know that can come off as sarcastic. So I've been really trying, you know, this last month to, you know, not be like that. Think before I speak. Or, you know, like with my husband, the five love languages, I read that book. And I'm trying to be, his love language is to touch. And so I've been trying really hard to be more loving towards him in that way. As a result of these changes, my youngest daughter, she said, Mom, she said, you don't yell so much lately. Or she said even, she goes, you've been reading a lot more of the Bible and a lot more Christian music lately. And I tell her, oh, well, thank you. And she can tell, she's been saying little things. And even my husband has been saying, you know, thanks for the hug. You know, I really needed that. Thank you for that kiss. And it's just little things that you can make somebody's life so much better that you don't even realize just by changing some little things in your life. I used to do a life coach every day, and that's the website, but now it's onemonththolive.com. And that challenge is just wonderful. It just gets you spiritually fit for the day. And I'm doing that still every day, and I even started doing the exercises to go along with it. So hopefully I'll get spiritually fit and physically fit this year. When I think of loving completely, I just think of no holds bars. I mean, just, you know, we have one life to live, and that's all we have. And if we hold back, and if we just say, well, you know what, I'll just wait. You know, can I coach that basketball team with my daughter? I really can't fit that into my schedule this year. Well, what if you don't have next year? So to me, I just think whatever you can do, you know, with family, with friends, just do it completely, and then you'll have no regrets.
Another very powerful testimony, isn't it? God's grace and just being the person. What are you going to do in your life? What are you going to make? What changes? Are you going to go through this 30 days and no one will say anything about you? No one will recognize anything? Will you just be the same person? Are you actually going to do some things and to be a different person, to be more and more like Jesus Christ? There's three tools that God uses to help change our character, to help chip away at our lives. One of the first ones is problems in our lives. Depends on whether you've got problems. Everyone's got problems. And we've all got problems. And sometimes the things that happen in our life, God will use those things that happen in our lives. And sometimes they're there and they'll just be maybe rounding off an area in our life. Maybe there's something in our life. Maybe there's an attitude that just needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's an issue that we've hidden and left unresolved. God just wants to deal with that. He wants to fix that up in our lives. Sometimes it's a very subtle, a little chipping away. Sometimes it's a sledgehammer. Just on your life, and you think, what is going? You've been shaken to the very core of your being. Well, a part of that process is God just knows, just there's chunks coming away from your life as you become more and more like Jesus Christ. The problems, they will make us more and more like Jesus, but it depends on our attitude in those problems. If your attitude is right, your heart is right, you will come out more Christ-like through all the problems that you face. Another area that God uses is the pressures. And ultimately, if you want to know what someone is like, you put them under pressure. That's where you really see where someone is like. Once the pressure is implied to someone, what is what's inside? That's what really begins to come out when we're under pressure. What are we like when we're under pressure in our lives? And again, so God can use those pressures just to chip away at areas in our lives when we're under pressure. And again, our attitude is so important. Pressure will either bring out the best in you or it'll bring out the worst in you. And so our heart is, because we keep our hearts soft before God and our heart is with God, we allow God to use that and it'll bring out the best in us. He also uses people in our lives. God will use people just to chisel those areas away in our lives. I'm sure all of us at times know or come across people that are difficult people. Not everybody. Not everyone is easy to get along with. Not everyone. Some people will rub us up the wrong way. Some people will do things that just annoy us, that grate us, to get up our nose, things that they do, that the way that they talk, attitudes, just their behaviors, whatever it is, and it'll be irritating to us. But God, again, those people that you're in, that are in your life, God will actually use them to just sandpaper. They talk about heavenly sandpaper, just the areas of your life, yeah, to be adjusted. People want to throw people out that they don't get along with, rather than allowing God just to use them to deal with something within their own life, like a tolerance or whatever it is, to deal in our own hearts. And so we need to know that God uses people in our lives. If we use these three tools that will happen in us, problems, pressure and people, then they're the things that can chip us away in our lives, that we become more and more Christ-like. And that is an incredible legacy to leave. To leave boldly is to be men and women of God, to grow, to be everything God has made us to be. That's what we're here for. And God will use those things to make us more and more like him. And the third area that God will use, and the third material that we have in our lives that we're able to build with, something that lasts a legacy, lasts beyond our lives, to build an eternal legacy, an eternal thing, is community. You can put community in there. By community, of course, we mean relationships, relationships with people. Most important thing in life is relationship with God and relationship with other people. That is the most important thing in life. God's word lasts forever, we know that. The character is what you have that will endure. But what also the impact that you have on other people's lives is so very important. That's one of the legacies that we can leave in our lives. God is so much into the area of relationships. And as a church, we really push home groups. We really do push home groups because we understand the value of that. All of us in our lives, we're giving out all of the time. You're constantly giving out to your people all around you. And you need to go to a place, whether it's home group or ladies or the men's group, to go along with somewhere where you can have your needs met, where something can be sown and imparted into your life. You were made for that. You need that in your life. And if you're really too busy to go to ladies or to the men's group or to home group, the bottom line is you're just too busy. If you're too busy for people, then you are just too busy. Bottom line, that's where the rubber hits the road. You're just too busy. And so we're made for relationships, that we relate and love one another. It is so important. You know the story of Mary and Martha. We know that. We know that story, how Mary was, Jesus is coming to dinner, so Martha's running around cooking a chicken, but running around like a headless chicken, running around and getting everything organized, and Jesus has even come now, and Jesus is even there. It's already started, but she's there running around doing all of this stuff. We've got Mary comes and sits down at the feet of Jesus, and then Martha gets really stroppy. She's stroppy as heck with Mary, saying, "Why are you out in the kitchen?" But she's also stroppy at Jesus because she's saying, "Jesus, she should be helping me and you're letting her get away with it." She's just angry. She's got the King of Glory coming into her home and all she's got is rage and anger. And there's this read, it says in Luke 10 from 40 to 42, it says, "Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Do you not care? Tell her to help me.'" Not, "Will you please ask her? Tell her to help me, Jesus." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, gently, you are worried and distracted by many things. But there is need of one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part." Basically, what he was saying to Mary, "Look, Martha, you just made it all too complicated. You just made it so hard, so pressurized. You're trying to fit me into everything else that you're doing. And you've just got it wrong, Martha. It's not a matter of you trying to squeeze me into all of the other stuff." He says, no, Mary's actually got it right. You've made it so complicated. Life is about, it's about your relationship with God and it's about our relationship with other people. That's it. That's what it's about. And you've made it so complicated. Very gently, she was angry and she's abusive, but it really is that simple. It's the relationship with God, relationship with others. That is the thing that matters. That is what's so important in our life. And we saw that clip a little bit earlier on, that video clip. Very powerful. You saw that man. And he's got his son, he's got his family at home, children waiting for him. And what's he doing? He's building the sandcastle, this incredible sandcastle, putting all his time and effort into that. But as much as he tried, as you saw in that clip, he's trying and he's just building something, but he's got his son, he misses his birthday, he misses his games, misses everything important in life, and he's building his own little empire, he's building his own little thing. Look at my business, look at me, look at what I'm doing, look at my job, look at my career. He's doing all of this and he's neglecting what is most important, his relationship with God and his relationship with his son in that one. And as much as he does all of that, you see that the waves come in, it washes it all away. Eventually you saw him get his briefcase, just turf it away, and then he changed his life around, got his priority, and you see there he goes to his son. And the last words of that song were very powerful. Did you hear him? "All he really ever wanted was you." And that's God's heart to you. You know, at the end of the day, we say, "Oh, Lord, look at the job I did. Look at my house, look at my car, look at this, look at all the things I've done. Look at that." And the Lord says, "All I ever really wanted was just you." And our own children, our own families, our own grandchildren, all they really want is you. And not more what you give them in things, but in who you are. That's what they want. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. And if you have a look at your home, well, your home is a good thing. It's great to have a house. But your house is actually just a sandcastle. It's not going to last forever. One day it's all going to be washed away. It's just gone. But if your house is a home and you're building into the lives of the people within your home, then that is something, you're building internal values into your family. Well, that's something that will last. That is a legacy that will last. Your car? Well, your car is actually just a sandcastle. It's just also going to get, it's just going to get washed away. At the end of the day, having a car, a great car, or whatever else that you have, and they're not bad things in themselves. I don't think you have to go sell it now and buy a bomb. A car's a good thing to have. A good, reliable car is a good thing to have. But at the end of the day, it's not about that, is it? Because it's just going to, one day it's going to fall apart. Hopefully you're not in it when it happens. But it will happen. But what will last is our relationship with God and what we're building and sowing into the lives of others. That is so important. That is the tools of those relationships. It's so important to build that legacy in our lives. There was sometimes, I was about to read a quote from Helen Keller. Before I do that, quite often in life though, when you look at it, we're talking about leaving boldly, about leaving a legacy. And you might say, well, that seems, well, that's all right for you, but maybe you think, well, look, problem is for me, I don't have a lot of money, so well, what can I do? And I'm not going to start an orphanage or something that might go beyond me. I don't have a lot of influence. I don't have a lot of power. I'm not really in a position where I can really do all of that much. And maybe you feel like that, yeah, look, I'd really love to leave a legacy. I'd really love to do something, but I really don't feel that I can do that. Well, I want to tell you how much that you can do that. There is that story, and you would have all heard the story of, we'll stick it up there on the, of the boy that's, this businessman is staying in a hotel. He gets up early, decides to go for a walk. He's walking along the beach, and as he walks along the beach, he looks out and he just sees the whole beach is just covered with these thousands of starfish, all clamming, climbing on one another, trying to make their way. There's obviously been a high tide. It's washed them all in. They're all washed onto the beach. And as he's there, he's just there as the sun is starting to come out. And when the sun gets into its full heat, he knows that these starfish, they're all going to get fried. They're going to die once the full sun comes out. And so he looks at it and thinks, oh, gee, you know, these poor things, what's going to happen to all these starfish? They're all going to die. As he walks along the beach, he goes along and he sees a little bit further up, he sees this little boy running and he gets them up and he picks up one and he frisbees it in. He runs up, he grabs another one and he frisbees that into the water, and as the sun seems to be getting hotter, he seems to be working more frantically. This boy picking them up, throwing them all into the sea, as many as he can, just throwing them in. And then the businessman's watching this and he says, oh, the poor child. This poor kid, he says, look, I better teach him. This is a chance for me to impart a wise life lesson into this poor child. So he goes up to the boy and he says, boy, he says, look, what you're doing, it's a really good thing what you're trying to do. It's really noble what you're trying to do. But look, the bottom line is that the sun is coming up. When the sun comes up, all these starfish, they're all going to die. They're all just going to die. And he says, so you just got to realize that in life, you can't do certain things. You just can't do it. You're not going to be able to make a difference here. You can't really do anything. There's thousands of them. You're one boy. They're going to die. You can't make a difference here. The little boy just looks up at him and just thinks for a moment and then doesn't really say anything. But then he bends down and he picks up one and he throws it back into the sea and he turns to me and he says, well, for that starfish, that made all the difference. And that's sometimes we can't do everything. We can't do it all, but we can do what we can. And God has invested within us things that we can do which will make eternal difference. You can lead people to Christ, make an eternal difference. You know, you can be so caught up in work and everything else that you're doing and neglect leading someone to Christ, even to be open to lead someone to Christ. Such an amazing legacy. What the greatest legacy of all time is to be in the kingdom of God and see all of the people, the faces of all the people that are there, because you sowed something eternal into their lives. Now, maybe you can't do something incredible, but you can do something simple. You can love people, you can love God, and you can sow into the lives of people. But if you don't make any changes, nothing's going to change. And I'd hate it for anyone to get to the end of this thing, time that we've been through, and at the end of the day, you've not made a change. And so when your time's up, whether it's in 30 days, 30 months, 30 years, whenever it is, that you're not going to leave a legacy. We leave a legacy that when we get the things of God so deep in our life that we have conviction. We don't just believe it, we actually live it out. That is a conviction that we have that. We build character into our lives. And that is so important that we, because that's what we take into eternity. And that heart of community with God, our relationship with Him and other people is so important. Those are the tools that will build a legacy that will last forever. What are you building within your life? Honestly, honest reality check. What am I building with my life? Will I be one, as I said right at the beginning, where you just didn't leave a legacy? You've come and you've gone, and in eternity, you maybe gave your heart to the Lord. Well, fantastic. But there's nothing beyond that in this world. There's no one else in eternity that's there because of you. There's nothing that is endured beyond even your earthly life here that you've sown even to the others. Helen Keller said this quote. It says, "I'm only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but I can still do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." And so you can do a lot. There are things that you can do to make an incredible difference in our lives. But look, for every one of us, the time is running out. And the waves are coming in. The tide is coming in every one of us. Some of us, you might feel like, gee whiz, the tide is lapping at what's close to me. And others, it's coming up, it's further away. But the tide is coming in. Just want to show this next little picture that I've got here. I've found this. This is a picture of the sculptors. You know, there's people that actually make these incredible. Have you seen those incredible creations? In America, for example, this is from the World Championship. But in the American Championships, they start at 8:30 in the morning, and they go to about 1:30 in the afternoon. They've got 4 hours to build something like this. 4 hours. They're all judged, and people look at them. To about 4 o'clock, the tide comes in, and they're gone. All of that work to build an incredible creation like that. And they actually asked them, that people interviewed them and said, well, why do you do that? Why do you do these incredible things, knowing that in time the whole thing's just going to get washed away? And what they said is, it's good, the finished product, but the most important thing is the joy that we have working together as a team. It's the relationship that we have. It's working with other people. That's the thing that gave them the greatest joy in their life. And in your life, having a relationship with others, working, imparting to one another, that is the greatest joy. This is actually one of the World Championship castles. They stand for a month, because they don't actually build them right on the beach to wash away, but the rain will come down, and they do get washed away depending on when the rain comes down. But at the end of the day, we want to build something that is going to last forever, not to be washed away, to leave a legacy. And it's your choice. You alone are choosing right now, every day, what am I building? Jesus came and he left a legacy that we're all a part of. He gave his life on the cross for us. We all enjoy the benefits of that, eternal life, salvation. And maybe if you don't know Jesus Christ today, maybe you need to say, yes, Lord, I want that for my life. I don't want to miss the whole point of life. The whole point of life is finding Christ in our lives and then to live according to God's word, to begin to live a legacy that will last a whole life. I just want to show this final clip to close off. This is a very moving clip. Guys, get your hankies, ladies, get your tissues, because I just blew my eyes out. I'm going to try not to do it this morning. I watched it quite a few times so I could get it all out of my system. Very, very powerful and very moving. This is a clip from the movie Schindler's List. I don't know whether you've seen that, but Oskar Schindler, who saved so many Jews during the war from being gassed. And this little clip is essentially the conclusion of the movie right near the end there. And very powerful. But he looks at the legacy of his life. What will you leave a legacy in this life yourself? Something that endures. You know what the tools are. You choose whether you're going to do that. And I encourage you, leave a legacy. Don't waste your life building a sandcastle that's going to get washed away. Build with eternal things that are going to last forever. Let's just watch this clip and then we'll pray after this.
We've written a letter trying to explain things in case you were captured. Every worker has signed it.
Thank you. Hebrew from the Talmud. It says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
We saw over 1,000 people there. The Lord, every one of us, God has given us time, has given us talents, he's given us treasure, he's given us abilities. We've got one life to live. You don't know how long you've got left to live in this life, but let's make our lives count. Father, as we stand before you, Father, we just know, Lord, that the gift of life that we have is so precious, Lord. Lord, we may have a lot more than 30 days, Lord. Lord, we want to determine to live our lives in you, Lord, that we will grow in you, Lord. That's why we're here. And Father, it's our heart, our determination, Lord, that we will leave a legacy far beyond ourselves. Lord, we don't want to spend time, Lord, in our lives wasting our life, Lord, building sandcastles, things that are not of value, things that are just going to be washed away. But Lord, we want to build, Lord, into our own heart, Lord, convictions, Father, Lord, let us not be people who say, yes, I'm a believer, but Lord, I not live it. Lord, we want to have conviction in our life. Let it be founded on the Word of God. Lord, let us live true to that, Lord, in our hearts. Father, let character be molded within each one. Let us be formed into the image of Christ, Lord. And when we go through difficulties, Father, let us not despise it, but Father, let us know, Lord, I'm becoming more and more like Christ, Lord. Let us build the character in our lives. And Father, let us value the community, Lord, relationships with people, first of all with you, and Lord, one with another. And so, Father, I just pray that, Lord, you called us to be a people that are going to leave a legacy far beyond our lives. So we want to leave eternal things. Let us not be distracted by like Martha. But Lord, let us understand what is important in life. Lord, let us not miss the boat. Lord, running around, Lord, with so many other demands, Lord, so many other things which we think are important, but Lord, are a sandcastle. So, Father, I pray that you stir us. And Lord, let each one of us determine what am I going to do different in my life. Father, we don't want to be like reading the Schwarzenegger thing, Lord. Lord, we just read it, yeah, and we say we love it. We never do anything. Lord, we love you. We love your word. Lord, let it change our lives. So, Father, I pray that for every person that is here today. And, Lord, if there's one person, if there's any people here that have not made Jesus the Lord of their life, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this day, Lord, they will find the reality of life. Lord, they'll find purpose in you this day. Find the sacrifice. Find forgiveness of Jesus Christ this day, Lord, I pray that. But, Father, I commit the people to you, Lord, as they're faithfully reading that book each day, Father, Lord, as they going along, Lord, to home group. They're involved in ladies, Lord, on the men's group, Father, Lord. They're not neglecting feeding themselves, Lord, and being together, imparting into others, Lord. I pray that you bless everyone. Father, we look forward to a great night tonight with the baptisms. And, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your favor now. In Jesus' name. Amen.